saying, the purpose of saying this 9, 8 or 7 shows with what level of caution Sahaba would narrate hadith, that they were so careful that even if they were doubtful about something, they'll relate the doubt. He could have just said there were 7 of us, or there were 8, or there were 9, but he was not 100% sure. So to express that he's not sure, he also expressed the doubt that he had. So in other words, people reading it, now they don't think that it was exactly 7, it was exactly 8, exactly 9, I'm not sure about it. So rather I'd be 100% transparent, 100% open, and this is what it is. You can imagine what level of honesty they had, that even if they doubted something so petty in our eyes, what difference it made whether it was 8 people, there's 7 or 9. But even that level of caution they took, that we mustn't narrate something that wasn't exactly like that. So we're so careful about the way we narrate a hadith. So therefore we must also be very careful about the way we have to narrate things that we think are hadith. Be very careful that we narrate it in the correct way. So anyways, they say either we were 9, 8 or 7. فَقَالَ أَلَا تُبَايِعُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that would you not take bayat, would you not pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَكُنَّ حَدِيثِ عَهْدِ بِبَيْعَةٍ He says at that time we had just taken bayat to Rasulullah, just before that, not long before that. So in our mind, in other words, it didn't make too much of sense that he's asking us to take it. So perhaps he forgot. So we said, فَقُلْنَا قَدْ بَايَعْنَاكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ That we had already pledged allegiance to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَلَا تُبَايِعُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just repeated that. He didn't enter into any discussion with them. He just repeated that phrase. Will you not take bayat? Will you not pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said immediately, فَبَسَطَنَا أَيْدِيَنَا وَقُلْنَا قَدْ بَايَعْنَاكَ فَعَلَى مَا نُبَايِعُكَ We spread our hands out. We said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have taken the bayat, we have taken the allegiance to you. Now upon what do you want us to take a bayat? The question normally would ask is first, what do we need to take bayat? And then we take allegiance upon that. But yes, Sahaba, to show 100% obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to spread their hands out, already took the bayat, and now they're asking, upon what must we take to show that there's no resistance at all from our side? We are totally committed. What we learn from here, something very important, is adab. Adab bin akhlaq, which is very, very important. Therefore, there's an Arabic saying, be adab be nasib, ba adab ba nasib. What it means, to the level of etiquette you have, to the level of respect you have, to that level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you, and to that level you'll benefit. And to the level of disrespect you have, the level of disrespect you show, and lack of etiquette you display, to that extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive you. So if you want to gain, then show a higher level of etiquette, higher level of respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, a person makes it a point of coming early to the masjid, using miswak, applying some itar, being early before the time of azan, or just after the time of azan. So he shows etiquette, he shows respect, he shows adab. Allah Pak will increase the reward of that salat, as opposed to a man just rushes in last minute and then he just rushes out. So etiquette is something very important. So here's Sahaba showing us, displaying what type of etiquette we should have. قَالَ Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now replied, عَلَىٰ أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِشَيْءَ وَصَلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَتُطِيعُ اللَّهِ That you take bayah that you would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't ascribe any partner to him, وَصَلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ And that you'll perform your 5 times daily salah, وَتُطِيعُ اللَّهِ And you'll obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters. وَأَسَرَّ كَلِمَةً خَفِيفَةً This is the part that ties up with the chapter we are doing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a few words quietly, softly. وَلَا تَسْأَلُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا And what words he said? He said, don't ever ask anybody for anything. Don't ask, don't turn your need to anybody. Even if a person may be, your neighbor may be a very rich person, your friend may be a very wealthy person, don't let your heart even go towards his wealth. Don't even be entertained by it. Don't ask anybody for anything. فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ بَعْضَ أُولَٰئِكَ النَّفَرِ يَسْقُطُ صَوْتُ أَحَدِهِمْ فَمَا يَسْأَلُ أَحَدًا يُنَاوِلْهُ إِيَّهُ He's saying, this narrator of Ibn Malik al-Ashta'i radiallahu anhu, saying that I seen one of these people that were present there after this occasion, that when his whip also would fall from the animal, he wouldn't even ask anybody to pick it up for him, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you don't ask anybody for anything. Anything. Sometimes it might even be a small favor. They just go here and do this, or just do that for me, or just do here, or you're going now Umrah, can you just get this for me? Obviously, exceptional situation where you know a person will be happy to do it and you need something, there's no problem there. But where a person habitually makes it a habit to ask people to do him favors, this is something that is not encouraged in deen. In today's hadith, and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لا تزال المسألة بأحدكم حتى يلقى الله تعالى وليس في وجهه مزعة لحم متفق عليه. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that you will continue asking, that none of you will continue asking, meaning his style is to continuously ask until he'll reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no flesh on his face. No flesh on his face. So ulama explained this means one of two things. One is he'll be so humiliated in akhirat, so humiliated in akhirat, that it's as though this man will have no flesh on his face. In fact, he's got no face to show. In English, this is the expression we use. He's got no face to show. Yeah, he'll have no flesh on his face. First explanation. Second explanation is that because this person would turn his face to eat this person, turn his face to that person, ask this person, ask that person. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will punish him physically like that by removing his flesh. This was the same thing that you turn to this person, turn to that person. So the same thing here gets punished. The face gets punished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the flesh from the face. One more hadith and then we'll terminate. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sa'ala an-nasa takathuran fa'innama yas'alu jamran. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that person that asks people merely to acquire more. In other words, he's asking not because he needs. Very often you'll find people, they've already got what they need for the day, but they're just asking to get more and more and more. So that person that asks just to get more, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he's actually asking for coal, hot burning ember. Then he says, fal yastaqil aw yastakthir. Either you can ask for more ember, or you can ask for less. The choice is yours. The more you ask, the more detriment to you. The less you ask, the less detriment to you. So this is burning ember. Very often it happens, people just accept Islam thinking, now Islam, they accept Islam so they can start begging. This is a good opportunity for us to start begging, because now we have accepted Islam. But as we see from the next few hadiths and the hadiths we already did, Islam doesn't encourage begging at all. It is not even encouraged to the slightest extent. So here we say not even ask anybody for anything. They wouldn't ask somebody to pass them whilst being right on top of the animal. Don't even pass me. It's so easy to pass a whoop, but don't even do that. So here it shows how far begging is. Begging is not something that is encouraged in Islam. So it is a sad reality, but many times people just accept Islam so that they can stand at some corner, some road, they can stand at and they can beg, or they can go around begging in the name of Islam. So this is not the teaching of Islam. This is foreign to the teaching of Islam. Yes, Islam teaches that we must be generous, very generous, keep on giving. But on the other side, Islam warns us that begging is a very serious and dangerous crime. Allah Pak, save us all. We understand deen in its totality. Not that we take deen and make it piecemeal like what we want to do. And the other thing that we should try and practice upon is the level of adab we have in our life. Try and increase it on a daily basis. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdi, kanashadu wa la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.